Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hello and welcome to Box Trick. I am your host, Matt Brady, joined today by DV2009. How are we doing today, D?
Hey, doing good. How are you, Matt?
Hey, I am doing good. Whirlwind here. I just got off work, came home. I forgot my wife was going away for the weekend. And so I was I need to do 50 things before right. We press record here. So just kind of, gathering stuff. I had to put the baby down, here's cram some food in there so you can nap, all of these things, but it's great. Hey, we're here. I've been planning this for a little bit and you just went to big convention. I have been doing a ton of N64 collecting. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about just some pickups both of us have gotten recently, but yeah, how was the convention? I saw, you got some pretty cool stuff there.
The convention was insane. I'm talking 250 vendors. The floor was jam-packed. They had free to play. They had tournaments going on. They even had a Rock Band stage set up for people to play Rock Band. It was crazy. I mean, Torg was big, but Siege was 10 times bigger and a lot more to actually look at and do. So I really liked it. And plus, I didn't freeze my ass off this time.
Yeah, because Torg is in Columbus, right? Ohio?
Yeah, it's in Columbus, Ohio. Normally it's around November time. So it's 30 to 40 degrees. So you're freezing. And then Siege is during the summertime. So it's a little bit hot and humid, but I can handle that more than I can freezing. So yeah. I really enjoyed my time though at Siege though.
Yeah, because I'm from just north of Columbus is where I'm originally from. Now I live out here in Portland, but the humidity, I can't do it. And it's every time I go back to Ohio, I'm I can't do this anymore. We don't have humidity out here. Okay.
Oh, do you it's not?
No, it's dry. I mean, everyone's it rains a lot in Portland and Seattle.
Right. Yeah.
But it's really not humid. It's mist. Yeah. It's so temperate that every time I fly back to Ohio, I'm I can't do the humidity. So I think Siege is in South Carolina, right? That's way too much humidity for I'm out.
It is very bad. It's it's not as bad as Arkansas because Arkansas's humidity in the summer is torturous. It's you're brutal. In the desert, but South Carolina, where it's close to the water and stuff, beaches and things, it is pretty bad. So it's oh my god, what am I doing?
So where's that at in South Carolina, that convention?
It's in Greenville.
So that's
maybe about a few hours away from me, 4.5 to 5, something that, a little bit less. So yes, Greenville, South Carolina.
So is that on the coast or is that inland?
No,
it's kind of middle.
Yeah, it's inland. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little outside of Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pigeon Forge, right up there. Oh, cool, cool, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I saw you. We can talk. Yeah, talk some pickups and stuff. I saw you picked up quite a bit of stuff. And before we get there, how is the PS1 collection going? Because last time we talked, I think you said you were at 700. Is that correct?
I said 7 something. I think last time we talked. Now I'm at 987. So I'm 13 away from 1,000.
Wow. I mean, that's crazy.
I was like, holy shit, the big one. That's my goal for the year is 1,000. I can hit it. No problem. Right. I'm not worried about that. But it's just whenever you finally get there, you're like, now here comes the big collecting, because that's mostly the heavies that are left. And my wallet's going to be crying whenever I have to get the last ones. I got some heavies, but not nearly as many that's left out there. So that's mainly what the objective is going to be whenever I hit that mark.
Yeah, I think last time we talked, I can't remember if you had just gotten it or you got it shortly after the Smurfs game. I did not really. Mm-hmm. Was that correct? I'm trying to remember.
Token Zorto?
No, I thought it was like a Smurfs game. Maybe I'm totally.
I did find a Smurfs game this around the same time I got Talking Sorto. So I did a trade for those two. The Smurfs game is not really one that's really rare. It's just one you don't see very often. Talking Sorto is the rare one. That's like $400 to $500.
Yeah. Well, I saw you picked up at the thing, and we can get into a little bit here. You picked up Mega Man Legends too.
I did.
You know, I feel like that's a game, you know, I mean, obviously like Tron Bond's the one that is, I think, out of the, that group of Mega Man, you know, yeah, that really has become it. But I mean, Mega Man Legends 2, you know, it's really, I mean, it's a PS1 exclusive because Mega Man Legends is on N64 as Mega Man 64. But it's just not a game I feel like people talk about nearly as much as you'd think.
Right. Yeah, you don't really hear people mention the second one. It's more the first one. And the second one is not really common to see that one. That was like, I have Tron Bond already. I have Mega Man Legends 1. But the second one is one, the last one I needed. And I'm like, it was at this booth. This dude, it was on Sunday. This dude was like doing 40 to 50% off. And like Phoenix Resale was like right beside me. I'm like, am I going to find anything with you being right there beside me, man? He had like a cart full of stuff. It was freaking crazy. But I was lucky enough to see that Obscure and then the GTA big box set, which I got, which I needed because even though I only had GTA 2, so I need the other two, but with the box set, now I have a duplicate of GTA 2, but that one's loose. So now I have a CIB copy. But yeah, that booth was going like packed. That dude sold $15,000 in the first hour.
I'll tell you what, it's been a while since I've actually, because I typically just go to, I mean, shout out to them, by the way, because they're great. I know Metal Jesus, he's featured, talked about them a little bit and stuff. Side Quest games, they're pretty good here in Portland. They pretty big in the community, and I live like literally next door to them, and every time I go in, they're always super cool. But I go in there, man, I'm like, prices, you know, they don't seem like too crazy to me. Sometimes on their Instagram I'll see stuff. And then, man, I was looking at some of the prices at the convention you were at in your video, and I was just like, how, like, are we really at this point now? Or some, how is Rule of Rose like $600? I mean, that's like crazy.
I know it is crazy. And speaking of Rule of Rose, the guy actually had it at his booth. Like, I missed it by 1 hour. He sold it for $500 and it's normally going for $800. And I'm like, I could have bought that because that's actually one I've been trying to rebuy for my collection because, as you all know, I did a video on this. My ex pawned off like half my collection many, many years ago, and that's just one grail I'm still trying to buy because I remember buying that game for $20 at G2K Games, and now it's like stupid expensive. So I'm like, oh, shit, I missed.
It's just wild, man. You look at some of these prices and things, and even games sometimes, like the games that are in my collection that you don't think about have gone up in price, and then you see people reselling them or whatever. Like even a newer game, like for Switch, I have the Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which is a short print, and I was like, I bought it at $60, and you look at it now, it's like doubled in value just because they actually stopped selling it digitally. And it was like a limited time thing. And man, you just look at it, you're just like, wow, I don't know. Should I sell it? I mean, I already have I have the games otherwise, you know, it's like Super Mario 64, Sunshine and stuff. It's like, I have access to those otherwise, should I but I won't, you know, I can't part with it.
It's the collector in you. You don't want to part with it. Even though you have it on other platforms, you're like, I got to keep it just because.
It's totally crazy. There was a game you skewed over in your video I was watching. And actually last time we did talk about it a little bit. I brought it up, which is VanArk.
I didn't pick it up. I've thought about it, but I'm like, I should have because I have never seen that anywhere. That was the only copy I saw.
Yeah.
But I ended up picking up something else from that guy instead.
Yeah. I don't know where the prices are at on it. I bought it years ago because I remember seeing it in like some Hidden Gems videos, and I was like, I better pick this up. But it is, I think it's a fantastic game in general.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with it at all?
Not really. No.
So it's basically like Star Fox 64, but on PS1.
Okay.
And then in between the levels, you have this little mission area you can run around and you know, it's like pre-rendered background and you kind of just run around a little mission area and stuff like that, but it plays very, very well. And it's very much just like Star Fox. There's not a lot of games like that on the PS1. There's that, and I believe there's some, and it might even be like a PAL exclusive or a Japanese exclusive. and it's not Godzilla, but it's the other franchise, like Gamora or something like that. You fight like kaiju, but you're
right,
flying
you're
flying around in a little in a little ship.
Yeah,
but if you see Van Ark in the wild again, you should.
I'll have to. I think you wanted 150 for it, I believe, is what it is. Yeah, thing. I was like,
I totally bought that for like 40 bucks.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't trying to buy any heavies, but that ended up happening anyway on Sunday. But I'm glad I did, because like I said, those sales were like too good to pass up. So, and a lot of vendors weren't doing, like, some of them would do deals, but some of them were pretty stern on their pricing. I can remember one guy, because I need Team Buddies. Team Buddies is a heavy that I don't have and you don't see very often. There was one guy that had it, just one, and he wanted like 180 for it, which is what it goes for. Right. I'm like, you know, me, I'm trying to find stuff underpriced, trading value if possible, not right at it. Right. If I want to do that, I'll go online and do it. At a convention, you want to do those deals in person. And, you know, we were just talking. I was just looking. And he's like, yeah, for a conversation, I'll knock $5 off. And I'm like, well, let me think about it. He's like, no, you got to do it now. I'm like, no. You know, and luckily someone swooped in and started talking to me and kind of saved me from that. But I don't like when vendors do that. I don't like when they try to go you into something just because you have a conversation. Because there was another guy that I actually was just chilling with him talking about anime stuff. We were talking about Gurren Lagann. We were talking about all kinds of stuff. And, you know, he never asked me to buy anything. Never. But he was selling like Perler Bead stuff, which is one thing I picked up. I'm like, man, you're awesome. And I see this VV, I'm going to pick this up. That's what I want as far as interactions go with any kind of sellers. Let me buy on my own. And if we have a conversation, you know, that's a great thing that adds to that value. And that makes me think, okay, I want to support this person, but don't try to, like, you know, pressure me to do it right now. Right. I hate when anyone does that.
I totally get it. It's unfortunate, and conventions are like that too, because they're trying to move inventory. Especially, was that like what date was that, first or third day?
That was the second day.
Second day. So yeah, you know, yeah, you're already in the middle of it. People are ready to move in. I've had some of those experiences at Portland Retro Gaming, where people are like, hey, you know, I haven't really been like collecting hard until recently. I've been collecting, which I've been N64, and mostly I've just been doing like eBay and stuff like that, which is pretty fortunate.
Same.
N64 doesn't have nearly the kind of prices as PS1 does. There's a lot more rare stuff, even though the library is much, much, much higher. But there are definitely some things that will be rare when I go to get them for N64.
Yeah, like Sculptor's Cut.
I'm pretty sure the Transformers game is like that, because it was like a Blockbuster exclusive.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of those things, where it's pretty rare. But honestly, I don't know. I mean, I'm not necessarily trying to go complete on N64.
Right.
I just got like a big list of stuff that I want for it.
Right.
So I don't know that I necessarily feel like I have to get things that
everything,
I,
right.
Yeah. I mean, the library, I think, is like 300 games. It's not very big.
Yeah, I think so. Like 294 or something. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, let's dive into some of the stuff you did pick up. Do you have them by you, or you don't have to?
They're right here. Well, some of them are right here.
There we go. Okay.
Here's a stack.
Let's dive in.
All right. So I've already mentioned GTA, the box set. This one.
So that's the trilogy. So I know 1 and 2 are on there. What's the it's like European missions?
London.
London, yeah.
The London mission. And that one's actually sealed.
Oh, okay.
So you're in not here, yeah, that. It's in here. Yeah, you could tell like the little like seal right there. It's sealed. So he had this marked at 140% to 50% off. Yeah, it was just crazy at that booth, and I only got 3 things there, which was this, and then the other 2 I mentioned. Now this one I was actually looking for. I've been trying to find a copy ever since I let one copy go for $45, and I kicked my own ass for that. And I saw 2 copies of this at Siege, but I picked this one up from this little nice couple. It's Poi Poi. This is kind of like, I don't really know. It kind of looks like I thought it was a Tetris knockoff, but it's not. I don't really know what it is, like some kind of 3D platformer party game or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But I only pay like 70 for it. It's marked at 75. They gave me some money off. See, some vendors will work with you. Be like, yes, I want this. And they're like, yeah, sure, take it. So they're pretty nice. If you just ask for like a few bucks off, they're normally pretty good about that. But there was one vendor that I dealt with, he didn't want to even budge. Not even on the last day, he didn't want to budge on nothing. So So I'm like, that's okay, man. I mean, I figured they would want to move inventory on the last day, not take it with them, but you know, it is what it is. This one actually didn't have, I didn't have Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. I have it on PS2. I have it on GameCube, but I didn't have it on PS1, but I've got the first one though. I'm like, there's just some titles I think I have, but I look and I'm like, I don't have that because I buy so much in Influx. And sometimes I forget to log stuff. Sometimes I actually have it logged, but forget I have it. Even though I have, like, I use CLZ to catalog my stuff. Mm-hmm. And even though I have that, I still forget.
Yeah, that's, hey, that, no, that's okay. Yeah, I think the, so I'm looking at that Poi Poi game. Yeah, it kind of looks in a way almost like a Mario Party, like a little bit.
Like, oh, so it is like a party like, game then.
Yeah, it looks some sort of like, I don't know if it's a battler. It's a very odd game, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, not like Power Stone, but.
Right, Power Stone
is
so good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, it looks like it's, some kind of battler puzzle game. I don't know, kind of weird. And then, of course, the Chamber of Secrets. I mean, that's pretty synonymous, right? The memes of Hagrid's beard. Yeah, it's like.
Yes, you know, I love the Hagrid. Harry Potter games. Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
The first and second. Yeah, they are for real. I got Battle Hunter from my buddy Justin, Sizzling Games. He actually is opening up a store in Elizabethton, Tennessee, which you've seen my videos. I go to Retro Mansion a lot. That's like in Johnson City, Tennessee. That's a few hours away from me because I don't have a retro store here. So it's nice to have more stores opening up that I can actually go to since Kentucky's been kind of MIA because of the floods and stuff that happened in February of this year. Right. So I haven't been able to go to Pace 3 or to Gaming Co. because those are my two favorite stores I like to go to. But they're doing like soft openings right now, but they're not fully open yet. But yeah, this one's supposed to be some kind of like cheap RPG. I've never played this. And apparently I learned something new about PS1. You see this up here, like this little indicator right here, the little key.
Yeah.
Right here. Well, there's a lot of PS1s like bowling racing that have like these little emblems with like different like symbols. Apparently they used to sell these in triple packs of like value games. I did not know that.
I never knew that either.
I learned
either.
That. I'm like, how did I not know that? I was
like, it was like in a collection.
Yeah, it's like they have certain games that came in like the little bundle packs that like kind of, so that's what it was. Just like, you know, knockoff games that were really cheap that you could buy like multiple of. So I'm like, I did not know that. I learned that like, I think on PlayStation 8 Dead's podcast, they were talking about that. I'm like, well, I didn't know that, but now I do. I was always wondering what the hell those were.
I definitely never knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either. Another one that I picked up was Block Kids. This is the Tetris knockoff that I was thinking of,
right?
Or something. So I've never played this one. This was one of the elusive ones that you just don't really see, even though it's like a really cheap title, you just don't see it. There was one title I looked for everywhere and I could not find it. It was Creatures Race in Space. Nobody had that game. It's like a $12 game. I have Creatures, but they made a second one called Creatures Race in Space. It's kind of like some kind of Tamagotchi knockoff or whatever, or kind of like where you raise a pet. That's what it is. I don't know if the space one's like that. I'm assuming yes, but I don't know. But nobody had it, so I'll have to buy it on eBay. Like everything else.
Hey, that's where I go for everything at this point.
Yeah, pretty much me too. It's either eBay or Mercari, or if I go retro game hunting, which is like every couple months because I got to drive a few hours either in Tennessee or I have to go to Kentucky just to go to a game store or way up north where I live. So it's like I still got to drive either way. So it's just more convenient.
By the way, I see what's in your hand. And that is a game I did mention to you last time. As an absolute,
I got it. Yes, so I can't wait to play this. I've never played Roscoe McQueen. I'm so excited.
I'm telling you, it is. I mean, I hate throwing out the word hidden gem because it's become, you know, like everyone says everything's a hidden gem, but it is. It is truly a hidden gem. It is so good. It's like Johnny Bravo style humor, you know. It's so 90s and it's good. Yeah. I mean, I will say it, even if for your stream, like, don't feel at all bad about using cheats just to play through it, because it's worth it. It's worth it just for this, it's kind of hard, I will say.
Is it really?
It's definitely one of those games that was meant to be like rented and rented over and over and over again. But we had it. My cousin got it, and so we played it. But from what I remember, it's pretty brutal. Or maybe I just sucked as a kid, I don't know.
Is it a platformer that you know of?
It's a 3D platformer. It's almost the camera's almost like top down a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Not fully, but just the way it's kind of angled.
Right. Gotcha.
And it's super cool. Like, you go through all these, you're basically in this like big hotel that's on fire. And you have to go like level by level.
Right.
And you get like axes to cut down doors, and you have to like go back and find like a stronger axe, and you get water. You have so much water. There's like robots you have to save.
Yeah.
People you have to save. And it's like, great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Tons of humor. Yeah. I think it just like, I don't know when it came out or one of those things, but
yeah,
total. It's a great game. It's highly recommend.
I will play it soon. I'll probably try to play it next week, because this week I've been doing like Dreamcast stuff. I finally got to play Kiss Psycho Circus. I'm like, so I ridiculous. Did not realize that was an FPS until I watched gameplay. I'm like, well, we're locked in now, baby. And I actually played through like with one of the first members of Kiss, but you get to play as all four of them. So I'm like, if y'all want me to play more of this, y'all gotta vote on this shit, because this is fucking crazy.
I've never played it, but I've seen the footage of it, and it's wild.
It is wild. But yeah, I paid $10 for this. It was a really good deal. I couldn't say no to
that. Worth it.
For real. Celebrity Deathmatch for PS1. Didn't have this one. I played this before. It's a classic. I had to pick this back up. So I'm excited to dive back into this again at some point. This one is just a snowboarding game. It's Trick and Snowboarder for PS1. I picked this up from my buddy Justin too. And
I was watching some footage of that I was looking at some of the stuff you picked up. So I was like, let me check out some of these games before we talk about them. It looks good. I wouldn't say it's like as great as Cool Borders. Cool Borders is probably what I consider the best, but I mean, it doesn't look half bad for what it is.
A lot of those
like knockoff action, you know, sports, extreme sports games on the PS1, like it's not Freestyle or Tricks or what the I'm trying to think of it I'm blanking Thrasher Thrasher
oh,
which is
yeah,
like
Thrasher
the,
is one you're
which
thinking
is kind of the
of
knockoff the, like yeah. Tony Hawk one, but they went in a different direction. It was kind of cool. I would say that's like kind of this game.
Okay, I can dig it. I like Cool Borders, so I probably would like this. I haven't played it in a long time, so it'll be nice to dive back into a snowboarding game. So, So this is the only Dreamcast game I picked up, because I do collect for Dreamcast too. I've told you that. It's my favorite Sega system, and I'm going for a full set loosely. So I pick up stuff if I find a deal on it. This is 2012 Psychic Force. For Dreamcast.
Is that a fighting game?
I think so. Yeah. It's 3D battles. It's a fighting game. Fighting arenas. Right. Yeah, it's a fighter. Yeah, from what it's like.
Yeah, it's
a fighter. Yeah. I think this is actually the second one though. I think there's like one more. I believe this is the second one, and then the first one's on Dreamcast as well,
I'm seeing here Psychic Force 2. So there's Psychic Force 2012. This says Psychic Force 2 PS1.
Oh, yeah. The second one's on PS. I don't got that one.
I was like, you must not have it. Yeah.
No, I don't. No, I don't have it. So the second one's on PS1. Okay. See, there's so many. I don't remember all the titles. Like, I can't keep up with over 1,000 game titles, man. This is what the internet's for. Yeah. Okay. So that one's on PS1. Yeah. That's one I know I don't have.
It says Psychic Force. Let me see here. Psychic Force 2012, I think it's also on PlayStation, but only in Japan and Europe. And then the second one is probably on PS. Maybe they're both. I don't know. Psychic Force 2 was a PS1 or PS1 exclusive, but I don't know if it came out in like America. I think it's like Japan or PAL.
I'll have to look into that and see if we did get it over here, because I don't have it. So I'll double check it, because some of the titles, you know, you think they're over here, but they're not.
Right.
So I'll double check and see if it is. But yeah, I don't have that one. I know for a fact I don't. Oh, I did get something else. I don't know if it's in the stack. It is in the stack. We'll go ahead and talk about that since we're talking about fighting games. I played this recently. I hate this game. I bought Cardinal Sin. I thought I had this loose. This is another reason why collecting, and whenever you get over almost 1,000 games for one system, it's hard to keep up with everything. This game is awful. I cannot get past level 4. I suck big balls at this. It is brutal as hell. I literally sat there for almost 3 to 4 hours playing this. I'm like, okay, I'll change the character. It literally, even though you have like power-ups and stuff that you can use, they'll dodge it because it's like a 3D environment where you're moving and stuff. It is abysmal. And there's shit that's coming at you like in the environment too that can actually hit you and damage you too. And when you try to damage your character that you're fighting against, they have a shield. And sometimes whenever you hit them, it doesn't do anything. You throw them, there's no damage. I'm like, what is this bullshit?
Yeah.
No, no more. I'm not putting myself through this shit anymore. I like fighting games. Rival Schools is great. Tekken's great. Guilty Gear is great. Even Dead or Alive's great, but not this bullshit. I'd rather play BioFreaks than play this crap again. And BioFreaks is like notorious for being bad. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I'm pulling up a video here. Matt McMuscles, who, you know, he's a pretty big YouTuber.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
Yeah, and he did one of the worst, you know, fighting game, and it's on there. Yeah, and I'm looking at, yeah, because that's another rare one. Unfamiliar with this. I mean, I think it looks good just for its time, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just abysmal. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be. I'm like, just another fighting game. It might be like, there's a Dungeons & Dragons Iron and Blood for PS1 that's actually literally a fighting game, and it's pretty easy. It's not really hard, but this one I'd never expected. Apparently it is a sin to play this shit because you're literally getting down in hell.
I'm looking at it. It does not look particularly good. Characters look super stiff, animation.
It's very hard to move. I mean, I may try it again with the fight stick. Maybe I'll have better luck with that. I don't know. It's like trying to play Mortal Kombat with the fight stick, Sub-Zero Mythologies. I hate myself for doing that.
I'm trying to get better with a fight stick right now. Yeah. I bought like a custom one off Etsy.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But it's like the leverless one, and man, I'm having the roughest time.
Oh, yeah, that's actually kind of cool.
Oh, it's sweet. This thing is awesome. Like, and it's got all sorts of. I bought it for Street Fighter 6, and it has all sorts of different color profiles, and it lights up like all the different arcade cabinets.
Oh, okay.
So you can do like for Street Fighter, you can do like the red, white, and blue, which was like Street Fighter 2, like, and Super Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Like that. Then there's like, you can do the Xbox coloring scheme. It's
right.
Awesome. It was like $100. I bought it for like $100 on eBay or on Etsy.
And nice.
It was freaking awesome. Oh. Etsy, by the way, for custom stuff. And I have one little thing in my pile I'll show you that, do you look for custom stuff at all? Is that something
I do on Etsy? I bought some like reproduction cases on Etsy for my loose stuff, because sometimes it's really hard to find like actual game cases for loose discs, because I've come across them from time to time. Like for Philosoma, I had to wait for almost 2 years just to find a long box for that one, because I didn't want to get one for that, whereas a long box game, and plus I haven't really seen anybody doing like long box variants like that. So just like the jewel cases, I don't mind doing that. But I've actually bought like my mat that's down here for like my desk. I did buy that from Etsy, and I love it. It's got like, you know, Breath of Fire, Final Fantasy. It's like dedicated to RPGs, but the person that made it, the shop, they're not on there anymore, sadly. Yeah.
I know, that sucks. Sometimes you find somebody on Etsy that's so good. Fiverr, same thing too. I use for podcasting and YouTube and stuff like that. Like, you find like an artist you really like, and then they leave, and it's like, dude,
why?
I know, like, I literally, like, the artwork I have here in my up hand corner here, like, I did for the podcast, I found this guy who this is the most random thing. I found this guy, I think he lived like in like South Korea or something, I don't know. I was like, I want like an anime artist. Found this guy, he did the artwork. He did the artwork for my Game of Thrones podcast that I've used for years and everything. I paid him, like, I was like, dude, everything you knock out is out of the park, and then just dropped off the face of the earth. Like, and it's like, what happened, man? You were freaking awesome. I know, it sucked.
Yeah, it does. I hate that. Same thing.
Sucks.
Yeah, it does. Whenever you find an artist that you love that does good stuff, you want to hold on to and be like, I need more stuff.
I
know. Now I got to look for somebody else, because I don't know what the hell happened.
I know. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, fortunately, it's like the person who did like the music for this podcast, and I've done for other stuff, but it's like still around. Omar, good. Shout out. Omar, I've been using him for years. Yeah. Okay. Like, Omar's awesome.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Once I get somebody that does really good artwork or whatever, like for my emotes and stuff, my buddy Nuke for Prez, he's done my thumbnails. I suck at thumbnails. I do. You could tell the quality difference between mine and his. And even though I've taken the time to learn, I still cannot capture what he does, because he literally can like do it in 10 minutes, done. I'm like, this looks awesome. Me, it takes me like 3 hours. Yeah. I'm just like, here, I will pay you this. Thank you. And of course, shout you out, because, you know, he's a streamer and stuff too. But yeah.
And it sucks, because the thumbnail sometimes is the whole deal. It's like, you could have a great video, title, tag it, all this stuff, but the thumbnail is almost, I think, in all honesty, the thumbnail is the most important.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to redo the last one, because the last one on the last video I did for Siege, I did that one. And I'm like, I don't think this one's good. I think I'm gonna have to recruit. What do you, him to do you
use,
another way.
Are you on Mac or are you on PC?
I'm on just standard PC. I use CapCut for my shit.
Oh, you just added it in CapCut. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can totally do that. Yeah. Yeah, I've done that too. I'm on Mac. I use this program called ArtText. It's great. I've been using it for
years. Okay.
Yeah, you can use Canva or whatever.
Yeah, for Canva's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of these things. It's such a God, and you get it too. Like the YouTube social media thing. Man, it is such a just a grind sometimes.
It is because you're trying to put out a video. You know, you try to make a schedule to put out those videos. Then you got to do shorts, and then you got to go live. It's a lot to take in, and it's a lot of time. But it's the dedication and the grind, you know. And plus, the main point of why I do it is to have fun and interact with my audience. Because even though I love playing the games, I'm literally the mouth of the South. My mom always told me I have more mouth than a poor horse has ass, and I do. So that's what people come for, is mainly to talk to me. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But we still play games. We just take just a little bit longer to get through it, but yeah, it's definitely a hustle and a grind for that, for real. Even though I've done it for almost 4 years, I'm getting there.
it's one of those things. I've been doing it for a lot longer than that, and it's just you just got to find your niche, carve it out, and everything. But yeah, thumbnails, man, it's crazy. Yeah, sometimes I have a thumbnail I think is great, and then nothing. And I've even like mood videos, because I started like an anime channel, and I blew up. And then I was like, all right, well, I'm just not watching that. I'm not doing it anymore. So I kind of like pulled it over and pulled all of it under this. So I know like title, tag, thumbnail, all that stuff has worked. And then it'll like tank on this, because that's, you're so seated in the algorithm and everything. Because I totally kind of tanked the channel. I had a Star Wars channel that my buddy and I built up to like 60,000 on YouTube. And we got invited into this YouTube Shorts program, so we actually I'm still in it, and so we work with like YouTube, like we have like community managers and all this stuff, and we're on this like Discord with people who have like millions of followers and everything, so we're all in there like talking about like, oh, you know, you should do this, you should do that, and man, even seeing people have like a million followers and stuff being like, oh man, my thumbnail, I think it was my thumbnail that killed it. It's like we all deal with it. It's not like sometimes we look from like the bottom, like up, and we're like, God, man, if only we could get up to there, but it's just so different. And you and I, and we both post on totally different, because you and I are both way bigger on TikTok than YouTube.
I know.
Way it's bigger.
That's the thing. It's like TikTok, that's where I blew up, and that's where my biggest platform is still. And then Instagram kind of blew up for me a little bit, because people love to see the rage, and I'm a rager. I know, I still do it, but I try to focus on like longer form content. It was like rage. I'm like, I want to talk about stuff too, man. But you know, YouTube is just like one of the hardest platforms to take off on. Unless you know, your short, my shorts pop off pretty well, but like my longer ones are like the one that I'm trying to, you know, build up a little bit.
Well, even my Star Wars channel that I built to 60,000. What I found was it was all from shorts. And when I would post a long form video, even though I have 60,000 followers on that channel, I post a long form video and I get like 100 views. Because all those people are there for shorts. They're not there for long form views. And you're just like, you know that it's getting fed to 60,000 people. So I've been experimenting a lot this last year with stuff. And I found a bunch. I've like been diving deep into the algorithm to like find things. And another thing I'm finding is that so many people watch on mobile that I've actually, a lot of times there for a bit, I was actually posting long form video in vertical format.
That's what I used to do, but I don't know if it did well for me, but now that I've got more of a following, I may start doing that again.
Especially like doing like a shorts compilation or something. And it's one of the things I found is, so I made like a series of like top 10 things. I did like a top 10 Zelda and a top 10 Resident Evil and all these things. And because I did it for TikTok, and then Dragon Ball, and then I pulled it over. And so when I first did it in this format, 16 by 9, I was like, well, then you have to put on some kind of border on the edge, and when you click to it on your phone, which is where the majority of people are watching anyway, what happens is you know, it's like, well, now your video's here, and you have all this extra space, and all this extra space is where you can see the comments and where you can see other videos. Well, so that actually allows people to be like, all right, I'm bored and click off. But if you post it the other way, where people are already watching, it pulls it up right on their phone. It takes up the whole screen. And now they're just watching. It does. You take the friction away. And my watch time on those videos went through the roof.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm not saying you should do it with everything, but it's something to consider because I haven't seen a lot of other people doing it. And I tried it and I was like, man, I think this might be the thing to do.
I may have to try it that way. Thank you for the advice. I appreciate that. I've been trying to figure out what the hell I could do. I'm like, what else can I
think
do?
You're, I think you have, I think you have pretty solid growth in just in,
I do,
in what,
yeah.
In what you have going on. It's just, it's a grind.
Yeah, it is. It is for real.
It's just a grind. Okay. All right. What, anything else? You have some other games here.
I have a few more. Yeah, we could show. I got Space Hulk.
Which I've never I looked that up. That's Warhammer, I think. I think it's a. Is it a Warhammer?
Oh, is it like
game?
Warhammer?
I think so.
Huh. Yeah, I've never actually played this before. It looks interesting. I'll have to give it a go at some point. But yeah, I've never played it. I saw it. I think I didn't pay $35 for it. I only paid like, I think $20 for like the whole thing. I got for the table. So.
Yeah, I was watching some gameplay footage. That's actually pretty cool. It's like a real time. It's like a first person shooter, but it's also kind of like real time, almost in a way like Rainbow Six. And I was watching some gameplay. I was like, this is actually pretty cool. Like, because I was checking it out today. Yeah, I don't know that it's gonna be, I don't know it's a great streaming game, but some people are super into Warhammer. So that might be.
Yeah, I may have to try it out and see. Now, this game is one that I didn't think it was like, okay, hold on a second. Because I had to go back twice and had to look it up. So this one is one of those weird sports titles that goes for like 60. I got it for 30. Yeah, I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, it's an MLS game. So it's like,
it's an MLS game.
Yeah. MLS in the 90s was not very big.
Yeah, so apparently that's why it's going for 60, but I got a hell of a deal on it. And apparently the guys that I got it from, apparently they actually have a store in Gate City, Virginia. I'm like, dude, I didn't know y'all exist.
Yeah.
So now I can go over to that direction. It's like maybe about 2.5 to 3 hours away. Maybe
so you have no retro game store anywhere close?
No, not anymore. They closed. We used to have a G2K up here in the mall that I used to go to whenever I was a teenager, but they closed that one down. There's only two of them left in that whole like franchise of game stores. One's in Norton and the other one's in Johnson City, Tennessee, which I did a video on that going in there. Kind of me coming in, me coming out, be like, nope. And I did a skit on it too, because literally if you go in there, they have prices on nothing. And everything's in glass or behind the counter, the glass. You cannot go there. You cannot do anything. You have to look up prices on a kiosk or ask. I'm like, man, if I want to do that, I'll just go to East Arland and do it, because at least I could pick up the game. That's one thing they have going for them. But yeah, I did not like that. I've never seen them do that before. That really disappointed me. It really did. I will not go back to that store because of that. And I actually saw them at Siege.
Yeah, that's like, not. No. I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, I get it. You want to protect it and stuff like that. But I know. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, but even the common games, why would you have them behind the thing and not have people be able to actually look at them, open them, check them out? I get the high dollar ones being in the case. I understand that, but not the cheapo games. Come on, man. If I'm going into a game store, I want to pick up the case, look at it like I used to. I don't want to have to, like, you know, stretch my neck up or whatever just to freaking see it. I'm like, I can't see what they got because my vision, my peepers don't work like they used to. I'm getting old. Accommodate the older generation of millennials here, man.
I think we're the same age. I think you might be just a little slightly older than me, but yeah, I'm the same thing.
I'll be 38 this year.
Oh yeah, I just turned 37. Yeah, but I never even needed glasses before, and then man, a year or two ago, I was like, and I only use them when I'm sitting at this desk or like if I really need to read something. But it's just like, man, kind of happened when I was driving, and it's just like.
Yeah, it's like,
what's that sign say? You know,
I can't read that. Hold on, let me open my eyes a little bit more.
It's from all the time when we were kids, and they were like, if you sit too close to the TV, you're going to ruin your eyesight. Well, apparently
it's true. Apparently they weren't wrong.
Apparently we did.
That's funny. But yeah, the only other thing I was going to show was the big one that I got, which was Obscure for PS2. This is the most expensive one I bought. So the guy
that's like a survival horror.
Yeah, it's a survival horror, like a party survival horror. You play as multiple characters. It kind of reminds me of The Faculty. If you watch that movie from like 97 or 99, sure, I can't remember what when it came out. Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like, it's gnarly. I played a little bit of it. I'm like, holy crap, what's happening? I'm like, why do I have multiple characters? Oh, crap, they're going to follow me. Well, you're dead. Okay, and there's another one in the courtyard. So it's kind of like there's a little bit of an escorting mission, but they get to play alongside you. It's actually a multiplayer, too.
Okay.
You can play multiplayer with this one. But yeah, there's a little bit of damage to it, but that's okay. I'm not one for like, as long as it plays, I don't care. So yeah, he had it marked at 330 like everybody else, but he, you know, 40 to 50% off. I got it way less than that. A little under 200.
Well, I mean, technically, you know, it's a tax write-off, right? That's the thing I always remind myself.
It is whenever like, you're, that's whatever, because where we stream and stuff, we get to put that in on our taxes. So I'm like, yeah, but I get to put this in, even though it's, I'll get a little bit back for it. It's worth it. I'll do that.
That's look for anybody listening. If you're like, man, cause I know sometimes I get people, how do I get into podcasting?
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book, it's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's low odor spray paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum spray paints now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. How do I get into this? It's like, hey, the easiest thing to do is learn how to make money doing the things you love. Okay.
Exactly.
Because then it's a tax write-off, right? Exactly. That's all, you know, that's the whole game. It's like, I didn't just, you know, I didn't just buy some of these N64 games. I mean, they're a tax write-off. It's like in Schitt's Creek. You just write it off.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you'll get a little bit of your money back. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And it all adds up. Okay. Here, well, I have some pickups.
All right.
Okay. So first, let me start with this. So I bought this, and I talked about this on the podcast last time, but not last time we were together, but like the last episode I just recorded. But I bought this. So this is an actual cartridge. It's Majora's Mask. It is a custom cart. I found this seller on Etsy who.
Oh, okay.
Who sells it, and they do this with all the games. If we can figure out how to freaking open it. Well,
you're like me. I'm like, how does this do this?
It's really sealed in there. Okay, let me see. Does this pop open? Well, I don't want to break it. Okay. Anyway, well, yeah, it is Majora's Mask. It's an actual cartridge though. That's just a custom shell, and then they put this like padding and stuff in, and they do it for a handful of games. I'm actually getting ready to order because I'm still waiting for my analog N64. Right. Your FPGA, it's going to be coming this month apparently, but I'm going to get Super Mario 64 because I actually don't
know. Awesome.
So they do the same thing, but so I picked up that was like $120. It was
not bad
because it's freaking sweet. Now I picked up a ton. I don't have to go through all these games, but I'll go through some of them.
Yeah.
Operation Winback, by the way. I know you're not. You're a PlayStation gamer, so you're not as
Winback's actually on PS2.
It is, there is. That's why I brought it up. There is a PS2 version that is
better. Yeah, that's the only one I play. But yeah, I played it.
It's the same game. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an N64 game originally, and then they ported it to PS2.
Oh, gotcha.
There's a sequel on PS2 as well. I can't remember, but the PS2 version is definitely the better way to go.
Oh, okay.
If you're gonna play. It's kind of weird because on PS2 you would think that they would have changed it to a dual stick shooter,
right?
But they didn't.
Right.
They kind of left the controls the same. So it's very stiff. I mean, it's fun. Right. It's cool for what it is.
Yeah. But I remember that. Yeah, it is stiff.
Yeah. You would kind of think that was the case. I got a ton of sports games, which I don't need to go over because nobody cares. Pokemon Snap. Now.
Oh, yeah. My favorite.
So good. But this one, I got it in a bundle. And it's one of those things where it's like, this was the game I wanted in the bundle. I did not actually care about NFL Blitz like NFL Quarterback Club and all that other crap.
Oh, yeah. All this.
So I got stuff. Right. So I got this bundle for like $20. It's like, well, Pokemon Snap's worth that alone.
Right.
Although I have to
clean it up a little bit.
I got to clean it up a lot. It needs like a new label. It needs a new thing.
I see that.
But thankfully, somebody posted a TikTok and short about how to get stickers off their stuff. So you did. So shout out to that.
I did.
Yeah. So go check that out.
Yeah. Cause I come across them between like on the cover art, on the case. Yeah. It's just, you know, on carts. So I'm constantly, you know, trying to clean stuff whenever I get an influx of stuff in, whether it be like PS1 and 64 or whatever the case, you know, I make sure to try to like get it to look as nice as I can. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, because I've had to deal with that before too. PS1 isn't so bad because it's usually on the jewel case. Now I have seen scenarios where sometimes people put it on the freaking book. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like why? It's like
just GameStop. Oh, don't even get it started on GameStop. Like, why would you put it there? Like on the it's so it drives me freaking nuts.
It does.
I literally went to GameStop when the Switch came out. It is the first time I've been to GameStop in years. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get Kirby Star Allies. Cause it was like one of the launch window Switch games. And I was like, cool. I haven't played a Kirby game in a while. I'll go get it. And I'll just go to GameStop. Cause I haven't been in one. I'll just pick it up rather than waiting for it to ship from Amazon. And I bought it. And then I didn't even realize until I get home, they put the sticker on the inside, bro. Why?
No!
You've like ruined it.
Switch, don't.
So terrible. My God, it's so
they will never learn, will they?
No. Okay, continuing on here. Let me pull up just some of these games here. Yeah. Turok 2.
Yes. Great series.
Yeah, super excited because I plan on doing a huge breakdown of all of these games once my freaking analog gets here. And I can play these games in 4K, right? But yeah, Turok, that's one I've actually not really played that much of that franchise, you know. I mean, it's okay. It's not as good as the PlayStation counterpart, which is Dino Crisis, but I mean, really.
Right.
What is as good as Dino Crisis?
Nothing.
I mean, nothing.
Nothing involving dinosaurs, at least.
I think we will, by the way. I think we talked about this last time. I do think we will get a Dino Crisis remaster.
I'm hoping I'm on my knees, Capcom. Please give it to me.
Yeah. I think we will. Because, I mean, you look at how successful like the Resident Evil remakes have been.
Right. Right.
I think, I don't know that are we going to get like, I don't know that they're going to remake 5 and 6.
I don't think they will.
I think the next rumor, Resident Evil 9 is in development.
Right.
And I follow Capcom super closely because I'm an investor.
Right.
But I think Resident Evil 9 is in development. And I believe the rumor is Code Veronica is the next one.
Yeah. Code Veronica was the next one, or Zero. I heard rumors too about Zero. So I'm not really sure. Yeah.
I think if they do a Zero remake, my guess is that they will change it to be, I think that'll be changed quite drastically. And it'll be like the Resident Evil 2 remake where you just play as different characters and you get their stories is how I would imagine they would, since that was a big, that was one of the things people didn't particularly, or they just go the Resident Evil 5 route and they just make it like co-op. I know it's like 5 and 5 and 6. I'm like, and I think we talked about this last time because we definitely talked some Resident Evil, but 5 and 6, I mean, if you play those games co-op, they're so much better.
Yeah, but I'm not a co-op girl.
I know.
So that's why I'm like, man, nah. If I was, I probably would have enjoyed them more, but where I'm a single player, no.
same.
Yeah.
Okay, some other pickups. I'll talk briefly here about Mario Tennis.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
So good. I actually got this on a super deal. I thought this like has a lot of online. It's not terribly expensive, but I got this for like $15 and it's actually in like decent condition. So I was like,
it looks good.
Pretty stoked about that because you know, I like the N64 for me, I missed out on. Like I got it, I got it like super late in its life cycle.
Oh, shit.
So that's why it's the, because I was a PlayStation kid growing up. Yeah, same. So I got the N64 late. So that's one of the things I'm like excited to be collecting for it, because it's like,
right,
oh man, I got to go like fill in.
Go back and see what you missed.
Yes. Yeah. See what you missed. And then I picked up Ocarina of Time. Obviously, got classic. This from SideQuest Games. It was like $60. Well worth that's it. Very, bad. Very clean copy. And they put it their sticker clean. Right there, right in the back.
You can get it like, off not, just fine.
Not terrible. Not yeah. super in the way.
Right.
Totally, totally fine.
Where it then, should be put.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got some more.
Not
here.
On the label. Not on yeah, the I've back got... art. I still got to rebuy that one. I don't have that one anymore. That old Majora's Ocarina Mask. Of Time.
Majora's
yeah,
Mask.
I don't have it anymore. I don't really like
that Etsy. That Etsy seller sells both of them. If you're,
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty sick.
Yeah,
Ocarina of Time. But really, at the point, I mean, if I feel like I'm going to play it often, I'll go to the 3DS and I'll play the.
The
3D version. Yeah, the 3DS. So I have some other pickups, but nothing like super exciting. Just a bunch of, you know, sports games and random stuff. Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire. Got that like $12. Same thing, SideQuest Games, bad. Super cheap. Yeah, super. Yeah. Yeah, very good store. I mean, I'm not sponsoring me or anything. I just happen to, it's just the one I happen to go to quite a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's next for your collection? What's your next big game you're looking for?
The next big game, I'm not sure if we're going to buy any more heavy this year, or unless I could trade for it, because right. I'm literally from Token Zorto to get in the Shadow Hearts games again. Oh yeah, by the way, I did pick up Shadow Hearts 1 and 2, so that way I can replay them this year, since I played Cladelka at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to replay those because I haven't played them in years.
Right.
And then that way I can finally play the third one on PS2, because I never played the third one. So I've only played 1 and 2. And since prequel, I'm going to try to go in a line. But as far as for PS1, I'm going to probably try to get Persona Revelations. That would be my next big one that I could try to get. Or I'm probably going to try to get Valkyrie Profile. Because that one used to be around $500, but it's since shifted to around $300 now. It's dropped a little bit.
Didn't it get a remaster port or something?
I don't know about Valkyrie Profile. I'm not really sure. There's a second one on PS2, I believe.
Right.
And then there's another one on PSP, like Lament or something like that. Yeah. I don't know exactly what it's called. But I haven't heard about a remaster for Valkyrie Profile. So not that I'm aware of, but yeah, those are two that I'm looking to try to possibly get, but they're pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about modern stuff? I saw you're playing Clair Obscur. I'm a little into it. I'm a little into it. Maybe I need to get further into it, but so far I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. Everyone said, and you know, you were the perfect person to talk to, but everyone's like, it's like Legend of Dragoon.
It's not really. Okay, so there is a little bit of comparison to LOD because of, you know, whenever you're in battle, whenever you're actually, you know, doing the moveset, you have like the actual time with the X button. That's the only comparison to LOD. That's it. Everything else is its own thing. The OST is its own thing. The characters, everything. That's the only, like, you know, nod to LOD with that. But the game is phenomenal. I just beat it before I went to Siege.
Okay, so you finished it now. Yeah,
I finished it. It's my game of the year. I love it. It is definitely worth it. Once you get past like Act 1, the story starts to ramp up a lot. Because you find out what's happening, you know, with the Paintress. You find out, you know, a lot of backstory. I'm not going to spoil it since you're still playing. Are you on Act 1?
I'm
on Act 1, Okay. The thing about the game, though, the parry system and stuff, you know, my advice to everybody, if you're going to play this game, if you can dodge, you can parry. So parrying is actually more beneficial because you actually do damage to the enemy more versus like trying to dodge. So that is one thing that I will say. You literally do have to get good with this game. That is, I don't like saying that. I typically say that for Soulsborne stuff,
bro.
But this one is a get good moment, because especially with one boss that fucking literally pissed me off, because he apparently had a third stage. So is it okay if I say something about it?
Yeah, say all of it.
Okay, so there's a boss named Simon. I hate that son of a bitch. Okay. When I first encountered him, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. He stage one done. Stage two, what the hell's happening? Why is his health pool so big? All right. And I finally like reallocated my Pictos and stuff to where my party is like, okay, we're going to smash his ass. Well, I was doing pretty good damage until I got him down to so far. And then he goes into a completely different stage. There is a stage three. I'm like, okay. What the fuck? He literally wipes you off the canvas and everything. It's like, everybody's gone off the canvas. I'm like, what? Yeah, he does that. He will do that, like, you know, in the other battles or whatever, but like third stage, everybody's gone. Everybody. Yeah, and then okay. You just have your reserve party. I'm like, what? Yeah, he was like one of the most difficult bosses, but the game is well worth it for the story, the lore, the music alone, especially Minoko's
it's
theme,
good.
Man.
Yeah, I will say so far the score is really, really good.
Yes, it's one of the highlights of that. My favorite song is Lumiere. I love it to death. And probably my favorite character would be Verso. Okay. Would be my favorite. And then my second would be probably Mael, because I liked using her quite a bit. I don't really like using CL very much. He really wasn't one of my favorite characters, but I did like Minoko a lot, especially whenever he says, you know, what lovely feet you have.
Okay, so maybe I need to go at this with a different direction, because I was talking to my buddy Jimmy, who I do my Game of Thrones podcast with, and he goes on this podcast every once in a while.
Yeah.
But he's big fantasy RPG guy and everything.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him and I was just like, man, I don't know. And he was like, dude, Matt, he's like, you just have to play more. He's like, you have to play more because it's so good. And now hearing you say the same thing. And I think I went into it being like, everyone says this is like Legend of Dragoon. And I'm like,
no,
okay. The combat is not like Legend of Dragoon. So if I take that out of the equation and just view it as like, this is just supposed to be a great RPG. Right, then maybe I'll get, because I'm playing it on my PC with like a 49.
Right.
So I'm playing it like max settings, ultra wide. I mean, it looked good, but I just haven't gotten into it. Yeah, some of it has just been, I got Switch 2 at launch. And
So you got other things going on.
Yeah, and so it's like, well, I had to like, you know, dive into Cyberpunk and Mario Kart World.
Oh,
and
hell yeah.
Donkey Kong. You're not a Switch person, so you haven't got Switch 2 yet, or are you going?
Not yet. I actually saw some at Walmart today. They finally got stock. They have four of them. I'm like, I'll get it later.
yeah. It's so, have you played it yet? Have you tried it out yet?
The Switch 2? No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's. I mean, I love it. To be honest, I think it's super cool. It is such a bigger step up from Switch 1. And I even have like the ROG Ally, which is like the Steam Deck and the Asus ROG Ally. And they're partnering with Xbox and they're making their own Xbox handheld here in a couple months. And, you know, but man, the Switch 2, it's pretty great. I'm not going to lie. Like it's way better than I thought it would be. And so I'm looking forward to a lot of these RPGs that are coming out that I can take on the go. Like, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics Remaster. Is coming up. Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be on everything like PlayStation and everything.
Probably, yeah.
But it's like, ooh, I can take that on the road with me, you know.
Right.
I mean, I could just play it on PSP if I really wanted to. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. So yeah, there's a lot of RPGs, but Donkey Kong is the game that I was talking to my buddy Kyle, and he comes on this podcast a lot.
Yeah.
Age of Retro. And he I mean, he's kind of like you, but he's like Nintendo. He's hardcore Nintendo, like collection.
Right.
I mean, he's got like big boxed, full boxed, NES, SNES.
Dang. The whole deal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole deal. And he's Nintendo enthusiast. And he's kind of like, yeah, man, I think I like Donkey Kong more than I like Clair Obscur. And so I'm like, okay, man, I don't, you know.
All right.
But now I'm hearing it from everybody. So I just need to buckle down, dive into Clair Obscur, and just.
You can do it.
Yeah,
just worth it, man.
Remove the Donkey Kong distraction, remove the Cyberpunk distraction, and just dive in. Yeah.
I love Cyberpunk. I do. How is Cyberpunk, by the way, on the Switch 2? How is it playing? I've been curious.
It's good. Because on my ROG Ally, handheld PC, I mean, it plays it pretty good, but I mean, Switch 2 is better. It is better. And it's better than a Steam Deck.
Oh shit. Okay.
Just because it's more optimized.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Switch 2 is about, I'd say it's about as powerful. It's certainly better than a PS4. I would say some games, it kind of depends on how well it's optimized. So I've been playing the Tony Hawk 3 and 4 remake.
Right.
And I've been watching some breakdowns on it, and it's like it's kind of like at the PS4 Pro level, but the Switch 2 has like, okay. But the Switch 2 has HDR on the screen, so that like makes it look a little bit better, and it also has better upscaling because it uses NVIDIA upscaling as opposed to AMD. Right. Now we're getting real nerdy in the PC talk, but yeah, it's pretty good. Tony Hawk 3-4 remake though, like it's good for what it is, but it's just I don't like it as much as I did Tony Hawk 1 and 2, just because I just like Tony Hawk 1 and 2 more than I like 3 and 4. As far as a game, it's a great remake.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, Switch 2 Cyberpunk's pretty good. I'm pretty excited to see like what all's going to Mario Kart's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mario Kart's totally fantastic. But you know, there's some other games, Metro Prime 4 is coming out and stuff like that Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. I was been waiting to see if that would come to Switch 2 to buy it. Otherwise I'd buy it on PC, but yeah, I've been waiting for that. And then the game that's going to absolutely consume my life is Hades 2, because it's a Switch 2 exclusive.
Oh shit. I didn't know that. I've never played Hades, but I've heard it's really good. Oh
my god. So that's the other game that's been consuming my life. I never thought I would get into roguelikes like that. And like you know, I've been getting into more like survival, because I've been playing like Vampire Survivors, which is great, and that kind of got me into the genre a little bit. My god, you will love Hades. You just have to play it. It's so good. It's beautiful. You have like a big TV, right? You have like get Hades. It's like 5-10 whatever, it's $20. It's so
is good. It really only 20? Damn,
I can't imagine it's super expensive. It's been out for a little bit.
Oh, okay. You can get it on this like Switch, right? Is it Switch only, or is it like other platforms?
No, it's Hades 1 is on everything.
Oh, okay. So it can be PS4, PS5.
Yeah, let's see here. Hades.
Yeah, I'll probably get it on PlayStation if I can.
Let's see. Hades, PlayStation 5, $25.
Oh fuck yeah, that's actually a good deal.
Yeah, the sequel is coming out. It's on PC right now, but in early access.
Right.
But it's launching on Switch 2, and then it'll come to the other platforms. Yeah.
Right.
The gameplay loop is so satisfying because you know, I mean, you've played some roguelikes. Are you familiar with the genre, right? Where you die and then you can buy power ups that kind of continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so much of it is actually the story. The story is so cool. So you play as this character Zagreus, right? And it's all Greek mythology, like Hades and Demeter and Ares. And so basically you're trying to escape hell, and you go through all these different stages. And after every round, you get like a power up.
Right.
Some of the power ups are like life or money. And then some of them are aspects of like gods. And you have like an attack, a special, like a magic thing, and then like your dad.
Right.
And so it's then when you start mixing and matching the power, so it's like, okay, this round I found an aspect of Zeus, so like Zeus will talk to you and be like, all right, which power up do you want, you know? And then you can be like, oh, my attack. So now my attack is like lightning, so when I attack people, like lightning bolts come out. Then you have different weapons, and the aspects do different thing, and then you can mix and match, like you can do duo combos, so like kind of like you'll find like legendary things in your run. What it'll be like, all right, well now Zeus and like Ares are gonna like tag team on one of your power-ups. Oh, it's so sick.
Yeah, that sounds sick as hell.
It won a ton of Game of the Year awards, and at first it seems kind of daunting, but then you kind of begin to find like how to play it and everything, and you just go through and you just like mow people down. Like the stuff I'm doing now is stuff I've watched people do. I'm like, I'll never be that good, and then you're just like, oh no. Yeah, I'm like, I bought it and I'm like 80 hours in now, and I like can't stop.
It's like I could do all this too.
Yeah, no, just buy it, play it. I think you'll love it. It's also gorgeous.
I will.
It is such a beautiful game. Yeah, it's just very, very cool. Very, very cool art style.
I need something to play after beating, you know, Clair Obscura. So, I mean, I was going to do Sea of Stars because I have that one, but that might
tempt me
to actually buy that. Is it good?
Yeah, I have it on Switch. Like it. Yeah, it's good. It's got that old school 16-bit, you know, RPG style. Yeah.
Right. People compare it to Chrono Trigger. What do you think?
It's hard because I don't know that anything compares to Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was like. Are you sure about that?
I don't even compare Chrono Cross to Chrono Trigger, right? I mean,
oh Lord, no. Please don't let it be like Chrono Cross.
No.
No.
Chrono Cross is a game, actually. I think maybe do we talk about this? I don't know. I've seen you post some videos on it where I think I think it just if you took out the whole identity of it being connected to Chrono Trigger, I think it'd be like fine, and people would be fine with that game because it's got a good soundtrack. But it's just like it's not a worthy successor.
No,
to Chrono Trigger.
Not even close. It even says on the back of the freaking case, it's a sequel to one of the greatest games of all time. The advertising killed me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does say that on the back. It's
yeah, because like, it's like it's not so much like, you know, because Chrono Trigger, you're jumping around in time. And maybe some of the people listening haven't played it because, you know, it is an old game. But
Man,
Chrono Cross is much more like you're going through dimensions. And it's too many characters, too.
45 and a lot are missable and a lot don't mean anything. I'm like,
yeah,
you don't need this many. At least in Suikoden, whenever you play it, you have 108 characters in Suikoden. At least they actually have purpose and they actually have meaning. With Chrono Cross, no.
Yeah.
No.
Did you, and I know, because I know you don't do modern games, and I know a lot of times you play on, you know, you like old school, but the Lunar remaster, did you get that? Do you buy any of those, the remasters?
I bought one remaster recently. That was the Tomba remaster. And okay. I was really disappointed with that. I did not like it because you can literally see that they really didn't do anything with it. They updated the audio. There's a menu system. They even, you know, show you like, you know, the different cover arts between PAL, Japan, and then US. But as far as like, you know, anything else, it looked the same.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I was so hyped because it's my favorite platformer on PS1. I'm like, oh, it's coming to modern consoles. What is this?
Yeah.
Why did I pay for this? It just, they're doing Tomba 2. So yeah, I'm a sucker. I'm going to still buy it, but I'm hoping they don't make the same mistakes they did with the first Tomba because I was really, really disappointed with that.
Suikoden or Suikoden, however you pronounce it. I don't know.
Suikoden.
Is it Suikoden?
Okay. I don't know. I've heard it pronounced both ways.
I've heard it both ways too.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, whatever. I've always called it Suikoden, but I don't know. Either way, that one's good.
Yeah, I like the first one a lot. I didn't beat it though, because my Sith all corrupted. I was literally upset about that because I literally bought another disc because I thought it was my disc and it wasn't. It was my save file.
Yeah.
So I got like 85% of the way. I still haven't played the second one though.
The second one's supposed to be like best art, like, you know, I mean, people say that's like top five RPGs on the PS1.
So from what I've heard, all of it,
you have to
get to it. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because that was one of the first games I ever remember people saying back in the day, like on PS1, like, oh, this game's rare.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. Now, a few other ones that I kind of want to get that are RPGs that I don't have are the Tales of Destiny games for PS1, because there's 1 and 2. I love the Tales of series, and I've never played those. Those are like about like $250 to $300. Depending on where you buy them, you can probably try to find them for less. It just depends. But yeah, I don't have those yet either.
Yeah. The there was the other remaster. Oh, the Lunar remaster.
You were just asking me about if I got that. I didn't. I have the big box sets of Lunar. I've got one of the other variants of the first Lunar that's like the fan variant. I am variant hunting a little bit, but not like extremely. But that other variant was given to me. But I just don't see the point of me buying the remasters where I have the big boxes. And another thing, I didn't buy the remasters because apparently they didn't use the original VAs that were in the original games.
Oh,
they got whole different VAs. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard a lot of people talk about.
Okay.
And that's one reason why people kind of didn't really want to get it is because of that. So I don't know, though. It could be wrong, but that's what I heard through the grapevine. I don't have them, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my buddy, Kyle, Age of Retro, my buddy, he said he liked it, but we didn't talk very much about it, so I didn't know if there was some stuff around it. But I was like, oh, that'd be right up your alley, because I remember last time we talked, you said you loved Lunar.
I do, especially the first one. But yeah, I didn't get the remasters because where I have the big boxes, I just didn't see the point in it. So it's just like, if I've got like the, I would rather play the original than a remaster anyway, unless it's like something I really like, Legend of Dragoon. If they remaster it, take my money. I want to see those beautiful graphics on my PS5 or whatever PlayStation's out, but you know, I doubt they'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't
like, I'm definitely going to get the, and this is where it gets kind of tricky on Switch. I'm definitely, and maybe I'll get it on a PC. I don't know. The Final Fantasy Tactics remaster.
Yeah.
I'm definitely getting that. I mean, Because I think it's actually more they're remastering War of the Lions, which is the PSP version.
I've not played that version. That's the only one I've not played. I played Advance. I played the PS1, and I'm not really a fan of tactics, but I've heard the PSP version is a lot better.
It's so much better. So much better. Yeah, you can find Final Fantasy Tactics on PSP for relatively, maybe I don't know, it's been years since I've looked, because I bought it back in the day. But I would definitely recommend the remaster on it, just because the PSP version is so much better. They add in cutscenes. They fix a lot of the mechanical issues with the game. Because that game on PS1 is like broken, and it's also faster. Whereas like on PS1, it's like slow. It can be a painful. Yeah. Like I don't mean slow as in it's a grind. I mean like
the load time.
Yeah, load times. Pretty brutal. Yeah, and so it's just it'll take like one battle could take you like a real long time to get through.
Right.
So yeah, I would definitely recommend it. But on Switch. And we haven't talked about this, so I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I know you're not a Switch 2 owner yet, but game key cards. What do you think?
I can't really get behind the game key card thing. Right. I don't know. I always thought the idea was kind of just stupid. Right. I don't know. I just don't. I mean, I know Nintendo's doing it for a reason, but I just that was one turn off of why I didn't get a Switch 2 because of the fact. See, I just was going by based on what I heard.
Sure.
Other people talking about, and that's one thing that kind of turned me off. And another thing too, you can actually tell me this since you are a Switch 2 owner, like a lot of the games you have to have online capability in order to play them. A lot of them you can't play offline. Is that true?
I haven't had any issues with that. So what they've kind of done, so the game key cards, when I first heard it, I was like, okay, this is at least kind of cool, because I think in the long run, it'll still end up being kind of good because ultimately it is still something physical that you can sell and you can buy, and it will, I think, long-term help video game stores stay open. Right.
Okay.
I think long-term, it just kind of sucks because right now, unfortunately, the Switch 2 uses this new type of micro SD card. It uses SD Express. There aren't a lot of people manufacturing those. So they're kind of expensive. I think it will get cheaper over time. Unlike the Vita, which used like Sony's proprietary thing that nobody used. They are also way better. Like it's way faster than normal micro SD. Hmm. Right. But like the 1 terabyte version, only one company makes it right now. And it's like $200. Ooh. Yeah, which is kind of pricey. It's like, well, I want the game on a cart because you're saving on storage. Like that was the biggest advantage of Switch 1, which is like, oh, you're saving on storage because the game is on there. And some games are like Cyberpunk is completely on the game on the cartridge. Yeah, and I have Rune Factory. Guardians of Zoom or whatever, pick that up too. Same thing, completely on the cart. Now, some games are the game key card. And the problem is that some Switch 1 games that are coming out, so like the Final Fantasy Tactics, is on Switch 1 on the cart. On Switch 2, it's game key card. But I know. That's the thing that kind of sucks. Like, it'd be one thing only doing it, like, and it's like why is the Switch 1 version getting it and the Switch 2 version isn't?
Not. Right. Yeah.
And so I think it's just because of the SD card format is different. Key card. And so it's just not there yet, unfortunately. So I think as time goes on, and Nintendo actually like put out a survey to be like, what do people think about this? Do people like it? Do they don't? And I mean, I still prefer it over something digital because in theory, in the future, I could go to a game store and buy that, or I could go to eBay and buy that game key card.
Right.
And then you know, and in a way I've also thought about this too, is like for a long time, a lot of games, like especially on PS4, PS5, not so much because they're using like the dual layered Blu-ray, where it's like 100 gig Blu-ray, but a lot of those PS4 games, it's like, man, they'd be like 100 gigs. Well, there's only 50 on your disc. So you're still like, you know, downloading some of the game anyway.
Right. And partial download.
Right. Yeah, so it's not the whole deal. And it's like, and then, you know, so it's kind of this in between where it's like, okay, well, you know, should I just download it digitally? Should I get the game key card? Then I have to swap it in and out. Like some games I've thought about this more recently. There's some games I'll buy digitally if I feel like it's a game that I'm going to be popping in and out all the time. So like Animal Crossing is one of those games.
Right. Okay.
Where it's a game that's meant to be played every day. Well, I'd rather just own it digitally because I don't feel like popping the freaking cart in every single day.
Put it in. Okay. Yeah.
Or like Madden. Madden's one of those where I don't really care enough because I'll play it so much that I don't want to constantly be swapping it.
Right.
So it's like, well, I was going to buy those digitally anyway, so I wouldn't consider buying that as a game key card. So I guess I'm in the camp where it's like I would still rather buy a game key card than buy something digitally that I wanted physically.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of the just kind of this weird place, but I think ultimately it'll end up being a good thing in the future.
I hope so. I hope it does turn out to be a good thing because honestly, I would rather see stuff in a physical format versus digital anyway.
Sure.
If we can save it, because physical media is a dying thing and I hate to see it in any kind of way that we can preserve it would be, you know, a good thing. It's just that, you know, the Switch 2, I don't really know a lot about it. Like I said, where I don't have one, I've not really got to play with one myself. I can only like look at what other people say and go off based off that. Whenever I get my own, eventually I can form my own opinion and it may change. Like be like, oh, I love this thing,
right,
or whatever. I mainly wanted to wait for it to drop and actually to see what they put out for it, to see what more they do for it. So that's what I've been waiting for primarily.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm a Nintendo homer. I'm a Nintendo hardcore enthusiast. So I'm a Nintendo shareholder. I mean, so, you know, it's like I'm hardcore into Nintendo. So yeah, I love it. And I think right now, just, you know, it's still very super early in the console's life cycle. So I think once it gets some more games coming and everything, I think it's going to be, pretty sweet.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're a little over an hour here. So, any other thing modern you're looking forward to for the rest of this year?
Not really.
Yeah.
It was just Clair Obscur 33 was like Expedition 33 was like the one that I was really looking forward to. And I played it and now it's just like, what do I play now? Hades, maybe? Sea of Stars? We'll find out. I don't know. Baldur's Gate 3 is still sealed that I still have to play that too. It's like my backlog is just insane. I mainly play retro. It's like people want me to replay Legend of Dragoon again. Cause I'm like, oh, I'll pop it in just to play it for a little while. Cause I'm like, because it's one of my feel good games. And I played it the other night. Everyone's like, play it again. I'm like, well, here's another 100 hours. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. You know, you said that it was funny because I popped into your stream the other day when you were playing it. And it's funny because I can tell that you have played the game a million times from one comment alone, is that you're super early in the game and you said, I have to get to level 5 before I go into the hell in a dungeon, which is what everyone does. Everyone like grinds until you're level 5 before you go to the first dungeon. Cause it's like, okay, I knew right away. I was like, if that's the only comment I'd ever heard you say about Legend of Dragoon, I would know immediately that you are somebody who has played it multiple times.
Enough to know what to expect. Yeah, because I've told people, they're like, these bosses are hard. I'm like, dude, just grind a little bit. Get additions. A little bit here. Get used to the additions because you need to be able to hit those later on. Because trust me, if you're not going to be able to just hit like just the modern ones, you're going to struggle. I did when I first played it. I struggled to hell until I finally got better at stuff. And I'm like, cakewalk. Milbu Frama. Cakewalk.
What's your team? What's your favorite team in the game?
My team, Dart, of course, because he's always in your party. And then Rose is my girl. She's my main. And then I like to switch between Kongle and Hashel. Mainly my team. I prefer Hashel over Kongle, though.
Yeah, see, Hashel is the character I usually play with the least. So I need my next run through, I need to do a Hashel run through. It's mostly just because his magic is like he's not typed against anything. So last year I did the run on PlayStation 5 because I could get the platinum. And I did one. I was like, I don't think I've ever played this team. So I did Maru and Shayna / Miranda. And we did like a full magic run. And I was like, I think Shayna Miranda's underrated. People are like, they don't like her because she's magic, but man, her magic is so good and she can heal everybody.
She can. Whereas,
actually, I think Maru is a little overrated because I know everyone says she's the best character in the game, but it's just because she has magic and she can hit hard and stuff like that. But
she can.
By the time you get her, it's pretty late into the game. You get her like midway through disc 2. Right. You don't even get her Dragoon until almost the end of disc 2. Then you have to suffer through a lot of like pretty weak additions before the before you hit her final edition, which totally slapped. Right. I'm blanking on it right now, but yeah. And you know, then you're on like the final disc. So I think it's better to play as somebody like Rose, who doesn't who you can max her out much quicker. And then you get the best weapon. And then she has the best weapon in the game for the final boss. So at least you get that. It's like a kind of bonus at the end. Yeah. Right. And then I always liked Albert Lavitz as my favorite character.
A lot of people like Albert and King King Lavitz. Lavitz and King Albert wrong way.
Yeah, that's that by far my favorite character. But man, I really kind of enjoyed playing as Shayna slash Miranda, because when you get the Psych Bomb X or whatever, the super magic item at the end, she's using it just tanks. You can just like one shot like everything.
Yep. Yeah, I love that too. I mean, they're pretty good characters. All of them have their good, they have their flaws and they have their good points. They do. People like Miru a lot because, you know, they find her quirky and fun and she can't hit hard and everything. But I never did really like her as a character all that much. I thought she was okay. She kind of annoyed me. I don't know what it was.
She's probably the best well-rounded character because she can heal. Probably. She can heal and she can hit pretty hard. Right. And she's fast, and speed is like everything. Yeah. And speed is everything.
Yeah, it is, because whenever Kongle's really slow, it's like I don't know. I always just like Kongle for some reason. I just
great. Him.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Because his dragoon you don't even use. His it's not even worth it. So you just
not really. It's pretty much just using him to hit hard. That's pretty much it for him.
Yeah, and if you give him things to speed him up, then he's good.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, we could talk about Legend of Dragoon for another hour. So, you know, we'll close up shop here as we go over a little over an hour. So, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok as DG2009. I'm on X as DGGames2009. And that's pretty much it. I'm all over. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my Twitch, too, DG2009. Yeah. Come watch some chaotic streams for PS1 and Dreamcast sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show. Yeah, you can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Games Bros. If you guys like this podcast, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Leave us a like, leave us a comment. Reviews on iTunes are like everything in order to help grow the show. And if you want to have a thought or opinion of your own shared on the show, be sure to email me at boxtrickgaming@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Games Bros. As always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
See y'all.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.